You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Right now, you can lease a 2017 Blue Cruise from only $138 bi-weekly at Lakewood Chev. Bill Lindsay joins us, of course, a former NHLer. See him on the NHL Network. He's been covering... how many years now, Bill, have you been doing analysis for the NHL?
Been with the NHL Network for a couple of years. Now I've done TV and radio for the Panthers now for 10 years since retiring. Time goes fast.
Now, the Panthers...
Seems like yesterday I retired.
Yeah, Panthers definitely a team, I think, in their own market and around the league. Disappointing because they'd had such a breakout season last year, 103 points, and they made a ton of changes in management, and then of course they ended up with the coaching change, and they made a lot of changes on their blue line, Bill, and it didn't seem to work out. When you look at this season, did they make too many changes to that decor in one off season, and it just didn't gel?
They made a lot of changes, but the players that they brought in, fairly confident. And still a fairly good group. They scored more goals as a group, but defensively, I don't think they were quite as strong. But you take a look at the move for Kulikov, for Pesek. Pesek played well for us and seemed to be a better option than Kulikov. They missed Brian Campbell. Keith Yandle came in, and he was decent, put up pretty solid numbers. So I don't know if they made too many changes, but the big one that you want to start with on defense is Aaron Ekblad. And he took a step backwards from where he had been at in the first 2 years, and Aaron Ekblad's a player that is going to be a superstar in this league, but they need him to bounce back and be better and be more consistent in this upcoming season because he is the main factor that I think the D probably struggled. They were expecting more from Aaron Ekblad.
So what happened? You know, the consistency, it kind of left his game. Where did it start? Was it just, you know, was he just, you know, too comfortable, or was it conditioning? I mean, there's always something that kind of you can point your finger at a little bit, Ken.
You go to the World Cup, he's had some injuries and had the concussion at the World Cup, missed some time in training camp right away, and then the season got started. Just did not have a very good start to the season, got banged up again at the end of the year with some concussion problems. So I think that play maybe played a role into it. He missed Brian Campbell, a good D partner that he was paired with, and seemed to have a tough time finding a defense pairing that he really gelled with and just kind of snowballed from there. So I guess the concussion issues are a bit of a concern moving forward. He has to be able to put that behind him. But he just seemed to lose his confidence, and a player like him, he's never struggled before, ever. Junior, first 2 years in the NHL. So I think mentally he faced some challenges this year that he's never went through before in his life, and hopefully it helps him in the future.
Now, looking at the current defense corps, who do you see as the best partner for him long-term?
Best partner for him long-term, that's a great question. If I was going to compare, I'd take a player like Mike Matheson, who skates well, really good player. Seems that he's getting better and more confident in the NHL. And you take a look at Brian Campbell, a player that Ekblad had a lot of success with. Matheson skates like Brian Campbell, doesn't quite have the offensive upside as yet, but very good defensively. So if I was going to pick one player, I would think Matheson would be a young player that he could grow and develop with.
You know, looking up front now, there's some very impressive forwards. Like the top nine for the Florida Panthers, I think I'd guess they're quite comfortable with. But a lot of the problems they've had with their guys were in and out of the lineup with different injuries. And at some point, some of their best players were all out at the same time. Will they stand pat with this group up front, knowing the old general manager, Dale Talon, coming in?
Well, in the top six, the one thing that you have to look at that they got to make a decision on is Jaromir Jagr. And do they bring him back? And if so, then he'll probably play on that top line with Huberto and Barkov. But they definitely have to make a decision on Jagr. I think the third line, they probably want to shore up. You got Bukestad there that just really couldn't find his footing this year. They need more from him. Marchessault had a breakout year, so I think they're comfortable with him. Hopefully he can repeat some of the stuff that he did last year. I think the third line, they would still like to add a piece there. So that's in free agency, trade, whatever you want to go about it. I still think the third and fourth lines still need to be addressed, and maybe one top six forward if they don't re-sign Jagr.
you watch Jágr every day, Bill. Do you think he is still somebody that helps their team moving forward?
He played well, and I know possession numbers and the points were down a little bit, still decent point-wise, still in that 40-point range. And those possession numbers, the Corsi numbers, if you look into that, were still good for Jágr. He still drove possession, has a lot of chemistry with Barkov. And with Huberto, he has lost a step. The skating's not there. It's borderline now. I watch him. You got to make that, you know, you're going to have to pull the plug at some point. And you got to think, is the skating still there? Is he still complimentary enough for Huberto and Barkov to continue to have success? So it's borderline right now with him, in my opinion, coming back, because one of these years he's going to lose that step and not be able to really keep up.
Bill Lindsay, analyst for the Florida Panthers in the NHL Network, joins us. Now, the Panthers, Yandle has a no-movement clause, so they protect him. We assume Ekblad and Jason Demers are the other two defensemen because they're likely going to protect seven forwards with Huberto and Barkov and Smith and Bukestad and McKenna, you know, all those guys they have, Marchessault and so many. So that leaves two Edmonton guys, and Alex Petrovic and Mark Pesek, who right now likely not protected. Matheson, they don't have to protect. So you look at Petrovic and Pesek, which one of those two do you think would be the bigger loss for the Panthers?
Yeah, that's tough. And you threw Demers out. I'm not 100% sure on that either.
Okay.
With him being protected, I think that is still an option, because they were really impressed with Pesek and what he was able to do. And then Petrovic is something that we don't have if he leaves. A big, strong, physical defenseman that's an intimidating force. And he progressed, too, with his offensive numbers and the ability to make that first pass and start that breakout pass and continue to get better. So there's going to be some option made. I wouldn't put it past the Panthers if Demers was one of the guys left out there, because I know for sure that they like Pesek and Petrovic a lot.
When I look on the Florida Panthers website, I see that Tommy Crews is still the video coordinator, but there's no head coach, and everyone loves Tommy, but who will be ultimately the head coach down there?
That's a good question. Jim Montgomery won the championship at the University of Denver this year. I've heard his name thrown out a lot. We've been interviewing guys. I think Phil Housley, assistant coach, has done – you see that D in Nashville, and Phil Housley is a big part of that. What's going on in Nashville there. I think he's definitely someone that might be on the short list for the Florida Panthers. And those are probably two of the names that I've heard the most bounce around. After that, they're going to interview a bunch of people. But I would say those two are probably the names that I hear the most and are probably the front runners.
Bill, how much distraction was it in the organization to even the players, kind of, you know, everything that happened last summer, moving Dale Tallon out, now he's back in, and you know, a real scene, kind of maybe a turn to them being very heavy on analytics and their evaluation of players. Talking to guys, did it create some uncertainty in that group, and where are they now as far as just maybe being a cohesive group back with Tallon running the ship again?
I think they're going to be cohesive. As far as the players on the ice, if you let stuff that affects you in the front office as a player, then you're going to have some issues. You can go to the coach with Tom Rowe coming behind and Gerard Gallant leaving, that causing some problems and some confusion for the players. And I think Tom Rowe never really got the handle on this team and was able to make his mark or his impression and get the players to buy in. So I think the coach is the biggest thing, that they've got to find a player that can teach these young guys and lead them and get them back to having that success. So I think the coaching with Tom Rowe, I think maybe was the biggest problem. As far as the front office, Dale Tallon back in charge, I think that is a good thing and a comfortable thing. And hopefully it's a move in the right direction and that they have that balance and stability that they had a couple of years ago.
Now, Bill, you played with my cousin, Rob Niedermeyer, and Rob told me that...
I lived with him one year.
Yeah, that's right. You guys lived together. That's right. But he said that you spent a lot of time on your hair, on those golden locks. So I'm giving you a public chance to defend yourself, because he was all over you the other day when I was talking to him about you.
Oh, Needs. Well, he's still up there herding sheep, which he always does. And he's still, I'm sure... The meal money envelopes that we got in 93, 94, I guarantee you that he has a few of those still stashed away for savings. So he can talk all about my hair and everything, but he drove a pickup truck his whole life. You know, I think he owns half of Cranbrook. I think he's got 500 acres up there in British Columbia. So he can talk about my hair, but as far as the spending, that guy has got plenty of money, and he's got his meal envelopes from the first couple of years. So you can tell Mr. Niedermeyer that.
That's so true. He's the cheapest man. He'll come visit me. He doesn't even bring his wallet. He doesn't even. I'm paying for everything that we go and do. He's like, oh, I didn't bring my wallet. I didn't bring this. You want to buy? I'm like, are you kidding me, man? Like, I'm happy to be a good host. Then I go to his house. All of a sudden, the wine's all locked up. Not a ball of wine to find. It's like a dry house.
It is tough. I mean, Robbie, he's a great guy, and we, you know, I'm a good friend and one of the nicest, greatest individuals you meet. But definitely, there's some dust in that wallet that he could open up a little bit more.
Bill, give me your thoughts quickly. Game 7 tomorrow night, Penguins, Senators. If the Sens are going to finish off the upset, what do they need to do?
For the Senators, they just got to be able to get the goaltending from Craig Anderson again. He was stellar. In game 6, if they get that and they can clog up that neutral zone, create some turnovers, the first goal, too, they got to jump out, get a lead, and get some confidence. If they're able to do that, maybe they have a chance in the power play, which finally got a goal last game. If they get some power play opportunities and can capitalize, get great goaltending, and shut down that neutral zone, then maybe they have a chance. But we'll see. It's going to be tough against the superstars in Crosby and Malkin and those type of players that have been there before and done it.
Bill, we appreciate this. We'll talk to you throughout the summer. Thanks for your time.
You got it, guys. All the best. Thank you.